The reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, He has gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded any one of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We are very grateful to Mr. Clive Martin, the alderman of our ward, for reading our lesson this morning. We are coming today to the last in our series on the takeover of Zacchaeus, the small businessman. And next Tuesday, we have Canon John Chapman with us from Sydney, Australia. Many of you will have heard him before. A great opportunity to hear the gospel clearly explained, to bring friends to hear it as well. That's next Tuesday here at St. Helens. Otherwise, all the notices for this week are on the back of the hymn sheet. So before we turn to Zacchaeus again, let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father God, we ask for the light of your understanding on these familiar words, and we pray that you'll give us grace to be obedient to the truths we find there. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Luke chapter 19. Avid readers like myself of trashy whodunit thrillers will know that the last four pages contain what it's all about. They reveal the answer to the two big questions. As Hercule Poirot, Miss Marple, whoever, has got all the house party guests, or what remains of them, gathered around the living room fire. He or she reveals, first of all, don't they, whodunit. But if, like me, you think you're almost at doctorate level on these sort of thrillers, that's not the one you really want the answer to. You suspect you've guessed that pages back. It's actually what happens in the last three pages you're after. It's not so much whodunit, but it's howdunit, isn't it? As they reveal all those clues that you were meant to have noticed and failed to do on the way through. Well, I think we're somewhere near that stage with our story of Zacchaeus and his takeover. We know now the ending of the story. And all that remains today is, in a sense, to pick up all the clues. And the one who's going to do it and who will guide us through what we were meant to have noticed is not so much the master detective, but the master himself. Because as we look at verses 9 and 10, what we have here is Jesus' verdict on the story. It's his conclusion. It's his summing up. And because he has such definite things to say, that is a very reassuring thought. We're not listening to a theologian's bright idea this lunchtime. It's not even Dr. Luke doing his best to work out what on earth was going on in the previous 8 verses. It's certainly not Hugh Palmer's tiny mind trying to put it together. We can have the confidence of the authority of Jesus to back the truth of what we're looking at this lunchtime. And he tells us straight away in verse 9 that what we've been going through the past 3 weeks is a rescue story. Today he says salvation rescue has come to this house. It may not have looked it at the beginning of the day. Way back in verse 2, Zacchaeus might have looked a very going concern. But to the perceptive eyes of Jesus, to the newly alerted eyes of the supervisors at the bank, they would have realized that Zacchaeus was in desperate need of a takeover, or he would be going under. And in these 2 short sentences, Jesus has plenty to tell us about the rescue he brings, about salvation. And the first thing he's got to tell us is this, the key to salvation. Look at what he says, verse 9. He says, today salvation has come to this house. And then think back over what we've been discovering about what actually went on that day in Jericho. What happened at Zacchaeus' house? Well, Jesus came to it, and Zacchaeus received him and embraced all that Jesus stands for. And that is what Jesus is trying to tell us salvation is actually all about. Jesus coming and being received. This incident is Luke's answer to the problem of those baffling words at the end of the story of the rich young ruler, that moral, wealthy man who left Jesus sad. And Jesus commented how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And his disciples said, well then, who can be saved? And Jesus says, it was impossible with men, but it's possible with God. Jesus comments how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom. The crowd wonder how an earth and out and out sinner could ever enter the kingdom. And Luke gives us the story of Zacchaeus to show us that here is a rich man who was an out and out sinner, and he was saved, Jesus says. He entered the kingdom. Now people then, just as people now, often talk of the kingdom of God in terms of political and social terms. Well, there will come a day when that will be so, but it's not now. And if that's where we start, we'll never get it right. It's not what the crowds in Jericho saw that day. They didn't see a social and political change, but a spiritual and personal one for Zacchaeus. He was a sinner in verse 7, and there was a radical change by verse 8. But what was altered was the human heart, not human institutions. Tax collecting, I have no doubt, continued much as it had done before. But if we'd been there, if we'd seen the story unfold, we'd have marveled at the power which caused this change. We'd have realized that the world around was going to change unalterably for Zacchaeus. His relationships with the crowd would be totally different. I mean, after the handout of verse 8, wouldn't you have reacted differently to the man? Zacchaeus and sons were already overhauling their business practices. Habits were changing. The old nicknames wouldn't stick much longer. This was an unsettling business. The world around will change, but only because his heart changed first. I wonder if you just keep a finger in Luke chapter 19 and go back right towards the beginning of Luke's Gospel, will you? To Luke chapter 2, page 56. Luke chapter 2 and verse 29. Mary and Joseph have brought the baby Jesus to the temple, and they come upon the devout man Simeon. And in these very familiar words, he blesses God and he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That's what Simeon says. But what had he actually seen? Well, the answer comes in verses 27 and 28. He describes it as God's salvation, but he'd seen the child Jesus and taken him in his arms. And if we come back to Luke chapter 19, isn't that exactly the picture we've had repeated? Zacchaeus has seen the man Jesus and taken him into his house. And Jesus describes it in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house. Today this man has been rescued from a godless life and a godless eternity. So the key question when it comes to salvation is surely this one. Have I received Jesus? That's why on the back of the hymn sheet again this week, we've typed this prayer. Do keep it open in front of you. It's a simple prayer about receiving Jesus, because that is the essential thing. A man a month or two back just looked in at the end of one of the lunch hour services because his wife had asked him to collect some literature from here, and he was talking a little bit, and it was obvious that his wife was what he called a born-again Christian. And with a slightly puzzled look on his face, he said, are all these people born-again Christians? And I said, many of them were. Are you? And he said, no. He said, I'm Church of England. He said, I belong to the PCC. And he told me about the synods and so on. He was on. I realized that actually been rather stupid. For him, quite understandably, the phrase born-again Christian actually referred to, a particular group. Just a certain sort of brand, a kind of special branch Christians or something like that. Now, I want to make it plain that what Jesus is saying in verse 9 surely makes it clear that this is a question which is not about entering any special branch of Christians. This is the salvation question. This is the rescue question. This is the what makes me a Christian question. Have I received Jesus? The key to salvation. And notice something else that Jesus has got to say in these two verses, and that is the scope of salvation. He makes it plain that it's for everyone. It is open to all. Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, since even he, even this fraudulent tax collector, is a son of Abraham, Jesus says. Now that phrase, son of Abraham, had a number of meanings at the time. It was a kind of national term. It was a way of saying he was a Jew. But it also had a far deeper meaning. It was a spiritual term. It spoke of those who were to inherit the promise of God. The confidence that many Jews of the day had was that they could always call Abraham their father. That meant they were one of God's chosen people. And contemporary Judaism demanded two things of you, that you were that by natural descent, you were born a Jew, and that you had religious adherence to the law. That's why if the crowd were to pass their verdict on Zacchaeus, they would laugh at the very thought of the spiritual term being applied to him. It may well have been that they went further than that, and because as a tax collector he collaborated with the invading power, the Romans, they didn't even think he really deserved the title of a Jew. Not even a Jew, perhaps, they're saying. Jesus wants to make this clear. He's saying here, he's not only a Jew. He's one of those who is enjoying God's promise. He is on God's team. He is saved. He does have the faith that saved Abraham. A great theme of Luke's gospel is summed up in these two sentences. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The whole point of Jesus' mission is to bring salvation to the likes of Zacchaeus, to bring those who are beyond the pale back within the pale again. Salvation is for all, but that doesn't make it automatic. Jesus is not giving a generalized statement in verse 9, is he? He says, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation is universal. It's not the same thing as it being universalist. There were plenty of lost in Jericho, but only Zacchaeus embraced and received Jesus. We'll search Luke's gospel in vain for the idea that everyone will be saved. We'll find chapter after chapter hitting us between the eyes, the thought that anyone can be saved. That's why we can all safely face up to this question. Have I received Jesus? There's no one to whom this is not the salvation question. Some of you who are parents of teenage children will no doubt have been doing exams by proxy in recent weeks, going through the agonies again. Well, here is the gift question. It's the one easy one we can all face on the paper. We'll actually only answer it, though, if we recognize we're amongst those who are lost. The thrill is that I can answer it, even if I am lost. That's why the prayer we have on the hymn sheet begins with that first sentence. You see, I don't need technical knowledge to answer this question. I don't need to have had religion or morality as my special subject. It's one of those gorgeous multiple choice questions with a yes-no answer. And we can all answer yes if we want to. Isn't it thrilling? There isn't anyone beyond the pale. The key to salvation lies in receiving Jesus, and salvation is open to all. So we can all face it. Have I received Jesus? And there's another reason why I need to face the question. And again, it comes from what Jesus says. Because as we read these two sentences, we're struck with the certainty of salvation. Zacchaeus wouldn't have gone to bed that night in any doubt about where he stood with God. That's why Jesus says these words, verse 9. Jesus said to him, to Zacchaeus, they're personal to him. Though they're phrased in such a way that it seems clear the crowd also are listening in, and he's very happy for them to understand what he's saying. But verses 9 and 10 are devastating verses for those who say that you can never be sure of salvation. That we're not meant to know. We're not meant to be absolutely certain if we're right or not. Jesus speaks so definitely. Today, he says, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. There's not a trace of uncertainty there. I picked up a different commentary yesterday to see if it would shed fresh light on the story of Zacchaeus. And it certainly did that. The commentator summed it all up like this. He said, so we can see earnestness of spirit prevailed. Only earnestness will. Indifference won't do. Half-heartedness won't get you very far. Even impulsiveness will fail. Only earnestness wins. It always must. Whatever comes in the way, whatever personal or social hindrances, whatever obstacles, however hopeless the case, in the end, earnestness succeeds. And when I'd finished reading that, I went back to reading the story again. I could only conclude that the commentator had given up at the end of verse 4. Really, as we read what Jesus has to say about the story, we'll search verses 9 and 10 in vain for anything about the earnestness of Zacchaeus. It's a very different picture that Jesus paints. I mean, if salvation were based on Zacchaeus' earnestness, he would have a very restless night that night, wouldn't he? Have I been earnest enough? How do we ever answer that question? Or thinking of his past, and let's not fool ourselves, his past will come back to him time and time again. He'll always be saying, well, if I was earnest enough then, can I keep it up? Thrillingly, when we come back to the gospel, we discover that Jesus makes it very plain that salvation is not the work of man, it's not the work of our earnestness, it's actually the gift of God. That he can be as definite as he is in verse 9 because of the truth of verse 10. How can we be sure salvation's come to this house? How do we know Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham? Why? Well, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's what this story is all about. It's a story about salvation coming not because of man, but actually in spite of man. The miracle of the story of Zacchaeus is this, isn't it? Not that salvation was given to a saint, but to a sinner. Not to a man who was moral, but to one who was immoral. Not to someone who was deserving, but to someone who was lost. Salvation was given not by popular vote, but in spite of the popular demand. And as we remember what happened in the story, we see it wasn't Zacchaeus' earnestness that broke through any barriers. All that did at best was to get him up the tree. It was the graciousness and mercy of a God who in Jesus came to seek and to save the lost that broke through the barriers. It was Jesus who stopped, who looked up, who said to Zacchaeus. It was Jesus who burst through the social and religious prejudices. We don't see Zacchaeus begging Jesus for salvation, trying to persuade God to take him on, to have him on any terms, seeing if there's anything they can negotiate that they could both sign. We don't see man's terms in this story. It is God taking the initiative. It is Jesus coming to seek and to save. Verse 5 are his terms. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. I must stay at your house today. We'll never have certainty unless salvation comes on God's terms. And his terms are that it is a generous and gracious free gift to those who will receive his rescue. And Zacchaeus received him. So he heard those immensely comforting words of verse 9, today, salvation has come to this house. Today, certainty. It's a staggering verse, actually. It tells me that it's possible to know for sure today that I'm saved from the judgment that's to come. Now, if those words weren't from the lips of Jesus, they'd be too good to be true, wouldn't they? It's what we'd all love to know for sure for ourselves. That's why we've got to face the question again. Have I received Jesus? Have you received Jesus? Is this prayer in front of you a prayer that you've ever prayed? Because it's a prayer about receiving Jesus. It's about taking up his terms. It's about accepting his gift. It's the path to the certainty that he speaks about. Just a couple of moments as we come to the end, I'm going to close simply by praying this prayer. And I'm going to ask you if you're amongst those who don't know for sure whether God has rescued you, or if you know for sure he's not rescued you. You're certainly amongst the lost. And I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. And not out loud, just under your breath, to yourself, but meaning it. And I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, which is why I've asked for it to be typed out so we can see in front of us. We know exactly what's going to be said, exactly what I'm meaning if I pray this prayer. And if that's what you do, I want to urge you just to fill in your name and a phone number. Tick a box at the bottom. Not so that we can pester you or mail you with anything or things like that, but simply because we want to help you. We're well aware that the story of Zacchaeus' Christian life did not end in Luke chapter 19 and verse 8. And we'd love to help you if we can in any way. We can only do that if we know who you are. I'm going to stop at the bottom of the pulpit steps here at the end. I'd be very happy to talk to anyone who's wanted to make this beginning to the Christian life, either a simple booklet called Start a New Life. Rather an apt title for a Zacchaeus, isn't it? And it explains the sort of things we've been talking about in recent weeks. I'd love to give it to you if it'll be of any help. But if you haven't time to do a Zacchaeus and fight your way against the crowds and come up the frontier, do at least spend the time to put your name down and to hand it in to a steward, someone with one of those name badges on, before you leave. And please, don't delay. Don't miss the urgency of this story. It is a today story. Today salvation has come to this house, Jesus says, verse 9. Because his original command was a today command. Look back to verse 5. Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus received him today. And Zacchaeus got his certain salvation today. Actually, Zacchaeus didn't have a tomorrow. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die. He never passed that way again. For Zacchaeus, it literally was today or never. Now, we always like to think that it's tomorrow when we'll be ready, and tomorrow we'll have sorted it all out, and tomorrow we'll be much more definite. Well, even supposing we are, and things are never quite as clear-cut as we imagine they will be like that, even supposing we are, supposing we're ready to receive him, what if Jesus isn't calling tomorrow? See, salvation is not up to us. It is God's gift. So when he calls, make haste and come down. Let us pray. Here's that prayer on the sheet. And if it's the prayer you need to pray, then under your breath in your heart, join with me in praying it. Father God, I am lost and cannot save myself. Thank you for sending Jesus to seek and to save me. To die for me, that I may be forgiven and have new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Father God, thank you that to all who receive Jesus, you say today salvation has come to this house. Grant the grace of certainty, we pray, to those you've sought and saved today. For Jesus' sake. Amen.